but I was over at, or we were over at Trinity, which was celebrating its 50th anniversary. Some of you probably were aware of three churches coming together, Goodwood, Kernelight Gardens and Westbourne Park, and they came together 50 years ago. Churches don't change much. You have the same characters in each church. So I was reminded at the church of the dear Mrs. Casabom, who sat over here in the wheelchair at Enfield. And I think I'd probably been there 6 years when she called out in the middle of a sermon, "Who's that man up there speaking and where do we get him from?" Right, that was good. And I was also reminded of dear Mary, who had got the idea of standing ovations from the ABC concert. And after one sermon, up she stood and gave a standing ovation. I think people thought she was having a psychotic episode, but the only standing ovation I've ever had, and she was the only one who gave it. So people don't change. We're looking at the prayers of Paul. And friends, on the front of your sheet, you've got the words of Paul, but you've also got in red words that I've changed into plural for us. And we're going to be looking at just those two verses in some ways today. And I'd like us to start by reading together that prayer, the one in red, because it says, in plural, give to us this Spirit. So let's read this together. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth we may glorify the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this was Paul's prayer for this situation for the Roman church at that time. And I trust it's our prayer for our church here at this time. Friends, when I came here some 6 or 7 years ago, Mike Mills, who was then the guy CEO of the Baptist whatever, said, "Colin, if it doesn't work out at Lighthouse, I've got 5 other churches who are falling apart and you could go to any of them." Why is it the churches fall apart? God hasn't fallen apart, so it must be us, mustn't it? I mean, not necessarily us, but there's something that we can't sort of quite grasp or set our mind to or put into action. So Paul, in these few verses, gives us some lovely guidelines, and I'd like us to take them seriously today. So, a spirit of unity and of harmony. All of Paul's letters, as Ted has reminded us, are challenges to churches where there's been upset. And I know, because many of you have shared with me, you have come from broken churches. And we have been in churches where there have been explosions, and this church is no exception. This church had an explosion, and many people who are still friends of many here today left and went off because of this, because of that, because of something else. So friends, it's no wonder that Paul, who had his heart broken many times, he set up churches and then he'd have to write or revisit and say, stop it. Can't you see what you're doing? We have read to us, by your love, the community will know you are Christians. wouldn't you think by our love they'd be flocking in the doors? Well, people aren't. People have such a negative view of the church, such a negative view. And well, we'd rather stay at home, watch something on telly or turn it off if we don't like it. So friends, we have an incredible responsibility because we are representatives of Jesus here on earth. We just sang that song. God didn't want heaven without us, so he brought heaven down. Hey, this is heaven. Isn't that what churches are meant to be? Isn't it what our homes are meant to be? And then what our churches are meant to be? Reflections of heaven. Yeah, all these divisions are not so heavenly. So, Paul, I just took from Corinthians, Ted took from other bits. But lawsuits, marriage, upset food and idols, the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, what's love, is there a resurrection? These were all the things that caused upset there, and right through Scripture, all sorts of upset. But let's just set the scene. And the scene is simply there in Romans 14, where the challenge is, don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. And what does that actually mean? Well, it means don't put something in front of someone that they're going to fall over and is going to cause trouble. Now, food and drink in those days, food offered to idols was such a stumbling block. And days. What days do you worship? What days don't you? And I know in churches today, there are certain things people won't do on a Sunday. That's a private issue. But it's not a salvation issue. Let's get that sorted out. But today, friends, what are the things that we Christians can put as a stumbling block in front of other believers or in front of people who are trying to make sense of the Christian life? Well, these are some of the things, and you can perhaps add another 1,000. Some of the things, the whole alcohol issue. Gaming as opposed to gambling. But we have people who are on games all night and time is wasted. And so a drawing away from God. Other things that we have there, sexual behaviour, of course, addictions, social competition, and even in churches, the me and my rights that are so prevalent. Now, some of you would know that the whole alcohol question for me is a big thing. And so I just went, I can press a couple of buttons on the computer. I went online and got this, and it just horrified me that to Australian society, 67 billion dollars is allegedly wasted in terms of domestic violence, in terms of lost work, all sorts of things. So friends, there was a time when Baptists, and I'm not a denominational thing, but there was a time when Baptists never drank alcohol. And then there was a time when, there was a great freedom. Now, I don't drink alcohol, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but what I'm saying is I don't want to be part of anything that adds to increased hospitalisation, increased domestic violence, increased poverty, increased loss of work stuff, and that's how I've thought it through. So I just want to ask you to please think through anything that might be part of your behaviour or your attitude that in fact causes a stumbling block for anyone else. Is there anything in your life that is actually preventing someone else from coming to know Jesus, or is leading someone away from Jesus? See, people get into gaming and say, oh, I'll help someone. But before you know it, their nights are occupied and it's a disaster. So I simply want to say, friends, this is a challenge to us. That's why chapter 14 is written. Don't be a stumbling block. Is there something that we need to deny ourselves? Yes. If I stick with the alcohol, there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine. I'm not saying that. But if that causes a brother or a sister to fall apart, we have Al-Anon on a Monday night. Families that have fallen apart needing assistance. We have two AA meetings. Wouldn't it be great if society didn't have to deal with that? And wouldn't it be sad if there was anyone in our church fellowship who was causing other people to fall over in their faith or to go down that path because of our behaviour? So all I'm saying is, and we all look at each other or we look at ourselves with rose-coloured glasses. So I'm saying, Colin, have a look at yourself. You don't drink, but maybe there are attitudes that you've got that cause other people to fall over. And we need to have a look. Romans says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, please use your mind. Please think. We've got brains. We are not stupid as Christians. We've got brains. And we're renewed by the power of God's Spirit to rethink. To rethink why we do things. Do we need a bigger house? Do we need a bigger telly? What do we need? Let's just think why we do things. That, to me, is the big question. Why? Now, we need to bear with those who are weaker and not please ourselves. Our whole desire, I hope, is that our friends and family will become Christian. So we need to think that through. How is that going to happen? Is it going to happen through me and my behaviour? And Christ is our model. So we need to think. Social responsibility. Am I part of the social problem or am I helping overcome it? What is the purpose of what I do? There are preferences that I have, but what is the purpose? The purpose of my life is to bring people to Jesus. So I might prefer to do this, but actually that's not leading to the purpose. That's not leading to the goal I want. And my rights, well, actually, have we got any since we've become Christian? Aren't our rights handed over to Jesus? So aren't my rights or his rights my rights? So I don't really have any rights, but I have a responsibility. Let me hand that over to him. So now Paul prays. And if you've got notes and you want to follow along with those, please do. And we'll move through quickly through these couple of verses. We're in Romans 15. And not a church without problems, but it certainly had some great theology given to it. And we too have been given great theology. So we're just looking. What should be the first thing for our church and any church? Well, it should be one of consideration. We consider each other. And so we consider each other more important than we consider ourselves, which is really important, particularly people who are maybe just new as Christians, people who are weak in faith. We consider them and we don't accuse. I've got there, it is not mere tolerance nor criticism, but we surround each other with love and care. We don't have to scratch the surface of each other much to find we all have a story. And some of those stories are quite sad, and some inflicted by the outside world some inflicted by family. So friends, let's be a church of great consideration. Let's be a church of Scripture. We cannot read the Bible without seeing the forgiveness and the hand of God. So, may we read Scripture and may we put into practice the forgiveness of God, the promises of God, the dealings of God with stubborn, arrogant people and us. He's dealing with us. So let's deal with each other in the same way. So we consider each other, we take notice of Scripture, and we build each other up. We're people of endurance, people of patience. How long has it taken God to get us to do what He's wanted us to do? And how many cycles have we had to go through? A bit like Jonah sometimes. Back to the same spot, back to the... So friends, let's be people of endurance, patience, fortitude and strength, because God is with us. That's who we are. People of strength, patience and then encouragement, particularly in times of upset, how we encourage each other. Back of the prayer points, encouragement, ways to encourage each other. So Paul says, be a church of encouragement. It's very easy to be a church of criticism. It's easy to put people down. Yes, but encouragement is what God asks of us. And of hope. We are people who are realists. Again, I say, we are not people who are just airy-fairy. We are people who are real. We're not pessimists. We're not negative. God is victorious. That's what we sing. So, friends, we are not pessimists. We are realists and we are victorious. We are people, hopefully, who are unified. If I gave each of you today $100... and I said, next week I want you to come back and tell me what you've done with it. Some of you would come back and say, well, here's the $100, I just put it under the bed. Some of you would say, I actually need another $100 because I went into debt. Some of you would have spent... We're all going to do things differently, very differently. But how wonderful that we can have differences of opinion, but we are united in Jesus. That's what we're on about. Not my preference, but our purpose is to help people understand about Jesus and for us as a church to be built up and encouraged and strong in our faith. Yeah, there are certain things that could easily divide us and upset us. But are they eternal things? That's the question. Are they eternal? And some of you have got adult children, as we have. And there are times in the growing up, and there are times now when we say, is an untidy room something of eternal consequence? No, it's not really. What's of an eternal consequence is the relationship. So let's keep the relationship and not worry about the untidy room, because they've got an untidy dad. So, see what I'm saying? Let's look at the big picture of what God wants to do. Not grovel in the nitty-gritty of stuff that upsets us, because we'll all be upset over certain things. And there, under point six, we've got that incredible statement in Ephesians. Just have a close look at that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond or through a bond of peace. Friends, that's to us. Make every effort. Oh, well, oh, I just won't get off. No. It's not don't just try. It says every effort, every strong and powerful effort. Why? Because God has already made a oneness. You see, there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of us all. There's already a oneness. There's already a unity. And what Paul is saying is, in your praying and in my praying, I am praying that you will work flat out to maintain that bond of unity, because it's God's Spirit who gives it. God has already created one hope, one faith, one baptism. That's God's work. What's my work? My work is to pray flat out and then to put into practice my prayer that I, in fact, will make every effort to maintain that unity. It's interesting sometimes when we're praying for people and children praying on the prayer chain, do you ever wonder what people are praying about you? Like, oh, dear God, you know, that person in church is such a pain in the neck. And they're praying, dear God, that person in church is such a pain in the neck. And both maybe are praying. It's interesting, isn't it, to just think. Hudson Taylor, one of the great mission founders, said, make sure that you change people by the power of prayer. And there used to be a silly old song that people used to sing that said, you can talk about me to whom you please, but I'll talk about you while I'm on my knees. And that would be good for unity too. That gossip stopped and we only talked about people when we were down on our knees. Pray, friends, for each other, that we might maintain that unity, because that is the power of God. If it's true that by our love the world will know, it doesn't matter what programs we've got, it doesn't really matter what we do, but we need to make sure that we maintain in a spirit of love. And then this is the outcome. The outcome is that with one heart and mouth, together we will glorify God. Isn't that what we're here for? Isn't that what we're on about? To glorify God. It's not about me. You know, people say, oh, don't come to church anymore. I don't get anything out of it. That's all right. You're not meant to. You're meant to be here. It's not all about you. It's about us. You know, I am so encouraged when parents bring children. We've had four. Well, we've still got four, but they're not any little anymore. Four kids, minister, wife playing piano often. Yeah, pooey nappy just when you're going. Sick. How wonderful, friends. It's about us being together. That's what it's about. And glorifying God with one mouth and one voice. If it's true that out of our heart, our mouth speaks, these words of encouragement for us to be praying for each other in this way is wonderful. We are followers of Jesus. And that little verse says, Christ did not please himself, and we follow Jesus. So it's a good challenge, isn't it? Who do we really follow? What is the goal of our life and our prayer? And are we praying for a unity here? Or are we happy to hang on, as Ted reminded us, to grievances and upsets? Let them go. Eternity might be just around the corner. It might be just around the corner. And how sad to die with grievances. Let's deal with them, particularly if it's a grievance for anyone in the church. if you've got something against someone, sort it out. Well, actually, you shouldn't have been here, because it should have been sorted out before communion, the Bible says. So let's sort it out. No upset. We are concerned to bring people into the kingdom. And that's how we pray, that we might be strong to bring others into the kingdom. Our example and inspiration is Jesus, and our dynamic is his Holy Spirit. Friends, we go out this week to pray this wonderful, wonderful prayer. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, thank you for the prayers that Paul has included in your word, that we might learn from them, that we might pray them, and not only pray them, but believe them and trust you to do incredible things in our midst. Forgive us for the stupid things that we've hung on to. Forgive us for any grievances that we have against each other. Forgive us sometimes for the way that the local community see us or see the Christian church. Our prayer, Father, is to bring glory to your name. And we ask that our church here at Lighthouse, throughout the Baptist community, throughout Australia and throughout the world, would be strong and trusting in faith, that people might come and know Jesus. We pray these things in his powerful name. Amen.